Good morning, everybody. We're glad you're here with us today as we come and we worship together. And those that are watching online, we welcome you this morning as well. Before we get started this morning, let's prepare our hearts as we hear from 1 Chronicles this morning, chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name, and bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them sing among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let us pray. God, we come before you now into your house of worship. And we ask, God, that you be pleased with our worship that we give back to you today for all the things you've done for us as we say thank you. Thank you for loving us, for taking care of us, and providing for us, God. And we pray, Lord, this morning that our offering of worship will be a pleasant sacrifice to you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Let us worship.
Please stand. We're going to do exactly what the scripture that he just read says. We're going to give him the glory and the honor that's due his name this morning as we sing, "How Great is Our God." The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, come on, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Let's sing it again, how great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. Name above all names. Worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. He you are so good. We worship you. We bless your name. Amen.
All right, you may be seated. And again this morning, as we come together, just a few announcements. One, don't forget, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have our Wednesday meal, ham and macaroni and cheese. So 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock is baccalaureate on Tuesday, the night before that. So Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, macaroni and cheese and ham. And then Tuesday night, the night before, is going to be Columbia High School's baccalaureate here at 7 o'clock. So we hope that you'll come and support the seniors as they get ready to graduate this coming week. And 7 o'clock here, we'll be hosting the baccalaureate service. It'll be a great time of supporting the community and our seniors. Also, right after the service today, we'll be having an Ad Council meeting. So if you are a chair of a ministry team or a member of Ad Council, please do your best to attend that meeting, as we have some things to look at regarding the church and some updates on some things that are going on. And lastly, if you're a visitor, we welcome you this morning, and there's a yellow car on the pew. If you can drop that on the offering plate, or if you have a prayer concern, there is a green card that you can fill out with a joy or a concern and put that in the offering plate as well, and we will make sure that we get that, and we'll share that with the prayer team and make sure that our church is praying for your prayer concern or sharing a joy that you might have. This morning for the service, we're going to be doing something different just in a few minutes, and that is that we'll be using the hymnals this morning and be thinking of maybe a favorite hymn you might have, and melody in a little bit. We'll be explaining a little bit more about that as we come to that part of the service, but we're going to change things up a little bit this morning and kind of use the hymnals and just kind of want to know what your favorites are this morning from things. This morning now, as we continue to worship, let us come before God, let us stand together, and let's remember why we're here. And that is because we are here because of Jesus Christ. So let us together recite the Apostles' Creed, which will be on the screen behind me. If you would please stand for the Apostles' Creed at this time. For I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And if there's any kids, they could be dismissed this time for kids-only worship.
Okay, so I know it didn't give you a lot of time to think about this, but I've been wanting to do this since I started coming here to church. So I want to know what a favorite song that you have out of here. If you can give us a page number, that would be great. Anybody have something they want to? And I apologize, I can't take everybody, so don't feel bad if I don't call you. Sue! Sue's excited! I don't know if it's in here. Let's try it. Victory in Jesus. Let's see who can find it first if it's there. It is page 370. Good, good. I love that song. Page 370, Victory in Jesus. Okay. All right.
I heard about his groaning. again and calls the blind to see. And then I cry, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
As well. So we need another one. Who else would like? How about somebody who hasn't been going here? Let's say someone who's been going here less than a year. Is there anyone here that's been going here less than a year that would like to put in a song request? I know there's some of you here. Everyone's shy. I'll give you another second. Okay. All right. Anybody? 314. Okay, in the garden, and then after this there will be one more, so you want to get ready for that if anyone has a favorite. 314.
I come to the garden alone while the dew. Son of God.
anybody else? Yes. Page 261. Oh, this will be fun. Okay, let's do, do you have any favorite verses? Let's pick three. Let's do the first three. All right.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven, and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance, dance, wherever you will be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead. Scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance, and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me, and the dance went on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord. On the Sabbath, when I cured the lame, the holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, and they left me there on a cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be.
I hope you enjoyed that. You can be seated. And listen, we need to thank Steve. Not everybody can just do that, right? So thank you, Steve. You're good.
Sally, did you make that request?
Yes.
That's the first time I've ever heard that song. And on 25 years of ministry, that's the first time I've ever sung that song. That was a really cool song. That's awesome. That was the first time I ever sung that in 25 years of ministry. So it's awesome to be able to learn some of your favorites and to be able to learn some new ones too. Let us come again and let us pray this morning. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds that we might be able to hear you speak to us today in your small, still voice. And we come, Lord, and ask that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Today we're going to be finishing up our sermon series on Collide, Faith versus Culture. We had talked about the need to stand firm in our culture, that when our culture says to do one thing, that we are to stand firm in our faith. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us, and how the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. We then talked about being transformed last week and how God wants to transform us. He doesn't want us to stay the same, that he wants to renew us. He wants to make us different and to conform to his likeness. And today we're going to be finishing up with love what matters. Love what matters. You know, as a pastor, it is hard sometimes because you're torn between being a husband, between being a father, and being a pastor. And I know many of us have some of those similar roles that you might play as well, where you might be a mom, a daughter, a teacher, or you might be a dad, a son, and whatever it might be. And you can fill in those blanks of where you're wearing multiple hats. And then when it comes to the church at times, you try to figure out, well, how do I fit the church in on top of everything else I have going on? And as a pastor, that is a struggle, being the fact that sometimes you feel like you're a rubber band and you can only be stretched so far. You have so many roles and so many places to be, and I'm sure that many of you can relate to that this morning. And then I have found that over that time that I have to choose what the priority is going to be. Is it going to be to stretch myself so thin that I have no time for my relationship with God and no time for my family or no time for myself or no time for the church to give the church what the church needs? And what we need to do and what I've had to do in my life is make priorities by saying God is first and foremost, and I always have to make time for God first and foremost. And then when it comes to Melody and the boys, I have to make time for them as well. And sometimes that means being a husband and being a father means that sometimes as a pastor that I can't be at all things and do all things because I have to be a husband and a father to them. It doesn't mean that I don't want to be at church activities or that I care about the church left. It doesn't mean that you're less important, but we all have to decide in our lives how much we can do and what the priority lies and where those priorities are. Because we cannot serve the church if we are stretched so thin with other commitments. Then the church will not grow, the church will not get our best, and then the church will just close because we'll be burned out because we're just giving just a little bit that we have left in life. You know, I think so many times we have to realize that we are the shepherds of our families, that as a pastor, I am the shepherd of this church, but I also am the shepherd of my family, and that when I choose family sometimes, it means that they need me to be their pastor. They need me to be their shepherd. They need me to look to for support and guidance and encouragement. And that means that sometimes to be the best shepherd to this church, it means that sometimes I have to make sure that I'm the best shepherd for my family as well. Because if I'm not tending to family needs, if I'm not taking care of family needs, then it doesn't matter how much time I give to the church. It won't be done well. It won't be done well if I'm not giving time to God and spending time with God and making priority in my relationship with God. It won't matter how much you're at church if you are not taking care of the other priorities that God has placed in your life. Now, I'm not saying that church isn't important or that church isn't a priority. What I'm saying is that we all have to evaluate in our lives where our priorities are, how much time we give those to priorities, and how much time are we giving to God, and how much time are we giving to church. Are we giving church the best that we can give church, or are we just kind of giving the leftovers because we're so burned out that we're stretched so thin in life that we're not able to truly love and enjoy the things we're called to do? That when we're serving, that we're not really enjoying those things because it's just one more thing to do in life. When it comes down to loving what matters, we have to say, what are our priorities? And how can God take those priorities and use them to influence others as well as to grow the church of Jesus Christ? It's how it is with our relationship with God that so many times we have so many other commitments and there's so many other expectations that are placed on us that sometimes we don't make God a priority in our lives. That we kind of do everything else that we expect people that they want us to do, that God gets put on the shelf and he's not a priority, and therefore we don't grow a relationship with him. We don't grow together with him, and we can't grow the church. You see, if we want the church to grow, then we need to first and foremost have a relationship with God that is growing and not put that on the back burner. That means that through our relationship, we need to look at ways that we can maybe help serve and help take the burden off of other individuals in the church that might be doing a lot, that are struggling in other areas of their life and trying to balance things and say, well, how can I keep this ball juggling in the air? You see, loving God is not just about spending time in prayer. It's not just spending time in our Bible reading and our devotions. It's about saying, how can I help the church? How can I grow the church? And how can I encourage the church? But how can I also, can I take the burden off of somebody in the church that might be doing too much? And that might be something simple. It might just be, hey, I'll make a phone call, or I'll send out a card, or it doesn't have to be anything complex at all. It could be something very unique that takes very little amount of your time, but yet the person in return says thank you because you're allowing that rubber band to stop being stretched so much and be able to come back together again. You see, that all happens when we come to God and we make God a priority and we ask God to reveal to us ways that we can get involved in our church, in our community, ways that we can serve, ways in which that we can help take the burden off of others. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. This world is passing away, and also the lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. You see, when we're looking at this passage this morning, we can conform to what the world says, where the world says, you know what, God doesn't matter. God will do his own thing. You do what you want to do. You make yourself a priority. You do what you want, but don't worry about God. Just put God on the back burner. God will always be there no matter what. God will understand if you don't have time to have devotions with him. God will understand if you don't have time to grow that relationship with him, because God will always be there. He'll never leave you or forsake you, so it's okay to neglect the priority of seeking after God on a daily basis. And as a result, we begin to fill things in this world, crave after things, to fill a void in our lives because we're not having that relationship with God. And we begin to say, well, if I can just do this, or if I can have this, then that'll fill that need in our lives. But the only thing that can do it is relationship with God. And we have to correct that crave, the crave of the worldly desires, the cravings that are about our flesh and saying, do what feels good. Do what feels right. Enjoy it. Because God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to have fun. God wants you to bask in the things of this world. And we begin to crave the things of the world. We begin to give in to the things of the world. Things like physical pleasure. What can I do to have immediate physical pleasure? What can I do to make myself feel good? What can I do to take myself out of the situation I'm going through right now? You know, for some of us, that might be when we're surfing on the web and we might look at websites that we're not supposed to look at. And it physically takes us out of things and makes us feel good. That we're tempted to maybe go down and hang out with individuals that are in good influence on us. Maybe we're tempted to turn to alcohol. Maybe we're tempted to turn to other means in our lives because we physically want to feel good right now. The desire to have that physical intimacy with somebody, whatever that might be, a relationship with somebody, whether you're married and you're like, I really wish maybe that my relationship with my spouse was stronger than what it is, or my relationship with my friend, or my relationship with people in church, that physical intimacy we all long for. John tells us that we are tempted to go these different ways. When you look today in our society, when you look at movies and TV shows, when it comes to relationships in general, especially those between men and women, there are images that are portrayed of what a healthy relationship between a man and a woman are supposed to be like in the movies and on TV. And then when couples get married and those relationships don't turn out the way they're portrayed in TV or in the movies, then all of a sudden they get dissatisfied. all of a sudden they begin to say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. It was supposed to be like this. Because the world portrays it as being something great and good and something you can enjoy. But yet, the reality is, that's Hollywood, folks. It's not reality. That when we begin to allow the movies and the TV to shape how our relationships, especially our married relationships, are supposed to go, we begin to put expectations on our spouses. We begin to put expectations they cannot meet because we're watching it before our eyes being portrayed out before us, saying, this is normal and this is what should happen. Whether it's in a married relationship or whether it's in other relationships in our world that the world says is acceptable, that we say it's okay because this is how it's supposed to be played out in the world. We begin to all of a sudden feel like when we go in the grocery store and we look at those magazine covers sometimes and we're like, man, I wish I could look like that person. I always joke because our son-in-law, Ozzy, he's 28 years old and I mean, dude is like buff as all get out. I mean, he is like totally solid. And the guy can sit down and he can just pack himself a protein and food. And I look at him like, man, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could look like that and I wish I could eat like that. Because I look at food and it just comes right on me. I mean, I don't even have to eat the food, you know. It's like one of those things you ever had that you look at and all of a sudden you're gaining like 10 pounds just by looking at it. We begin to look at individuals like that. We begin to look at magazine covers. If we're women, we begin to see women on these magazine covers and be like, wow, I wish I could look like that or I wish I could do this. We begin to follow all the steps of how we can have the body of this person or how we can look like this person. The reality is that all those magazine covers that we see are all airbrushed. They're not real, folks. Photographers have gone back and have touched up those individuals so they look as wonderful as they do. In reality, they have flaws, and the industry of the magazines and the industry of movies don't want you to see those flaws, so they'll touch things up so people look a lot better than they are. And then we strive to be like those people because we say, wow, look how beautiful they are. Look how handsome they are. When the reality is that they're being touched up. That if we really want to look that way, there's no simple fix. You have to put in the work. But my son-in-law, he puts in the work. He's at the gym. He's watching constantly what he's doing. That he puts in the work. But so many times in society, we want the quick physical pleasure of things. We don't want to have to put in the work. We want to take the easy way out. We look at the lusts of the world. The lust of the eyes, and so many times you would say, well, the lust of the eyes, Pastor Tom, isn't that talking about like looking at another person and lusting after them? Not necessarily. The lust of the eyes means that we can look at somebody else's situation, a living situation, and say, boy, it's not fair. I wish I could be like them. Why is it that that person is not living such a good life, but yet they have all the blessings that God seems to pour out upon them? Why is it that that person might have wronged me, but yet it seems like that they have everything they ever needed more, and, you know, I'm struggling to make ends meet. Why is it, God, I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to do the things that you want me to do. Why is it, God, that I'm struggling, and I'm trying to do what you've called me to do, but yet that person over there seems to have a bountiful amount of money, and their living is just so crazy. The lust of the eyes means that we can say we want to be like somebody else or have money like somebody else or have a job like somebody else. Lusting to be like them. I don't know if you remember the movie Freaky Friday back in the day where the mom and the daughter switched places and then now the mom was going to school to get an idea of what it was like to be a teenager and the teenager was getting an idea of what it was to be like a mom. Well, so many times we want to do that. If I get to switch places with that person, then my life will be so much better than what it is now. We can do that with church too, can't we? When it comes to church, we can begin to look at other churches around us, and we can begin to compare those churches with us and say, well, if we were like that church, then we would be in a better shape than we're in. If we had children's programs, youth programs, if we had a larger staff, if we had this, just what they have, then maybe our situation will be different. And we begin to lust after the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, saying, if only, if only, if only. The problem is those things will only satisfy us temporarily, and we'll get bored, and we'll want something else, and then we'll continue to fill that need with something else because we'll constantly get bored with it, and we'll need something new. God knows that, and that is why God says the only way to satisfy our needs with our spouses, our kids, and with our church, and with God Himself is with a relationship with Him. That is the only thing that will satisfy our needs and desires. Not the things this world will tell you will make you feel good. Not the things of this world that say, you know what, these are the things that matter. No, the things that matter are the things of God. Hungering after Him, craving Him, and loving Him the way He loves us. That we need to find God's favor. 1 John later on tells us that God is love, and that when we find God, we really find what true love is and what love is all about. If you go back to the verse we just read in 1 John here a few moments ago, John ends it by saying, the things of this world will pass away. The things of this world are going to pass away. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. I want that to sink in for a moment. That last part of the verse. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. But what does that mean? Everything in this world is going to pass away, but a relationship with God will never pass away. It is forever. It will never, ever once pass away. God's word and our relationship with Him are eternal. God's word will never fade away, and God's relationship with us will never fade away. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's right, folks. Revelation tells us that one day this earth that we live on is going to be destroyed. That God's going to destroy it and create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that's perfect the way it was intended to be in Genesis chapter 1. That all the things that we know about in this life are going to pass away. But God's love and God's word will last forever. That it's through God's word and through a relationship that He shows us how He wants us to live, the things we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to act. It all comes down to loving God and then showing love to others as well. When you look at the world's love is conditional. The world's love basically means that you only show love to those people that you feel deserve it. You know, for instance, those who might be in your family. I'll show love to people in my family because I feel they deserve it. Maybe it's individuals who agree with you on certain topics that you'll show love to them because you feel, well, they agree with me on certain topics, so I'll show love to them. Maybe you will show love to somebody that if they do what you want them to do, then you'll love them, but as soon as they don't do what you want them to do, then you turn your back on them. You see, love in the world standard is conditional. That we put conditions on how we love each other based upon our expectations of what we want in return. But God's love is unconditional. God's love isn't based upon whether or not somebody has the same viewpoint that you might have. God's love isn't based upon the fact if you scratch God's back, God will scratch your back. God's love is not based upon the fact of how much money you have or the lifestyle that you might be living and the job you have. No, God's love is eternal, unconditional, given to us that we don't deserve it. You know, I remember about a year ago and sitting before the judge, and I had gotten a ticket for running a stop sign, and the judge had said, well, why are you even here? You know you ran a stop sign. You know it's 3 points in your license, so why are you here? And I said, well, judge, I'm hoping that maybe you have mercy. And the judge was like, well, you know what it says here. And the officer who was standing beside me, who was the prosecution, stood up and said, judge, you know what? Can we just dismiss this case? Can you just dismiss it? And you know what? just forget I even brought this to you. You know, I heard his story. I was talking to him out in the lobby beforehand, and you know what? It was a mistake, and as a result, Judge, I would like you just to tear that ticket up, and I would just like for you to erase the points off his license and just dismiss things. And I stood there in disbelief and was like, holy cow, this is amazing. This is great. The judge thought for a couple minutes and said, are you sure this is what you want to do? And the officer said, yes, this is sure what I want to do. And so as a result, the judge then dismissed the case, took the points off, and ripped up the ticket. And I was able to walk out very grateful that the officer had a change of heart. That's grace, getting what I don't deserve. I didn't deserve that. I deserved 3 points on my license. Now, first of all, you're thinking, Pastor Tom, you really ran a stop sign? No, I didn't really run a stop sign. It was an illustration to show you the fact that what grace is getting something you don't deserve. It's when somebody says, you know what, this is what you deserve, but this is what you're going to get instead. That's what grace is, folks. That's what God's love is. The narrative love, being unconditional. Saying that, well, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but yet God still, while we are yet sinners, loved us and gave us what we don't deserve. That is what God calls us to do once we accept Him in our lives, is to say, God, on a daily basis, that I want to spend time with You. I want to walk in Your grace. I want to walk in Your knowledge. I want to walk in Your mercy. I want to love You the way You love me. And I want to show grace to others the way You showed it to me. It's a daily decision to love God back. You see, so many times we think God's that big teddy bear in the sky. Oh, God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for showing grace to me. And, you know, He's a big stuffed animal in the sky that we kind of, like, you know, go to every so often and say thanks. But the reality is God's not a big stuffed teddy bear. That God is saying, you know, what about me? Are You going to love me back in return the way that I've loved You? What are You going to do? I have loved You. Will You now love me? You see, it's a daily decision. Following Christ every single day, choosing to love God, not because we deserve it, not because God says, you better love me or else, and if you don't love me, then I'm going to pull the salvation from you, and if you don't love me, then horrible things are going to happen in your life. No, God says, I love you regardless of things, but the question is, are you going to love me back in return because you want to, not because you don't have to? That's why God created us, for us to have a choice. The angels don't have a choice, folks, but we do. Are we going to choose in return to love God out of appreciation for what He's done for us? Not because we have to, but because we want to. You know, every day we are going to be confronted with temptations. Every day we're going to be confronted with putting God on the shelf and not loving God. We're going to want to love ourselves more than we love God. We're going to want to put more time and energy in ourselves than we are that relationship with God. And John knew this. And John was looking here in 1 John, and he was saying to us today, do the decisions that we make as individuals align with the Word of God? Do my morals and do my values and do my daily decisions that I make align with the Word of God? That is the first step in having and growing that relationship with God, asking that question. The decisions I make, my morals, my values, and decisions align with the Word of God. And do my actions reflect that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do my actions and what I say and do reflect I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, we get distracted very easily. We allow the world to influence us. We allow the world to distract us, but God is still there, keeping His promise, saying that I am here and I'm waiting for your response back to me. You see, each day we have to say no to the things of this world and yes to God and the things of God. That being fruitful and being abundant in the life of Jesus, that we can be centered and stand firm on the teachings of God. Renewing our minds, as we talked about, being transformed last week. We find that the world's values collide with that of the kingdom values. We have to choose to make a decision. Am I going to choose the ways of God or the ways of man? What adjustments are we going to make in our lives that in the next 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 years in our lives from now, that those consequences will be different because we're choosing God instead of the world? Are we spending daily time in the Word of God? Are we trying to get together other people to study the Word and maybe start a small group, whether it's in your home or here at church? Volunteering at church and serving others and getting involved in ways that you might be able to give of your gifting? Increasing your accountability to others, saying, you know what, will you hold me accountable for my actions and my behaviors? That if I'm doing something I'm not supposed to, that you will please let me know so that I can correct it and get it right. As well as correcting those destructive habits and tendencies that pull us away from God. The list goes on and on and on and on. The point is, there is space in God's kingdom for each and every one of us. The question this morning is, are we going to make space for God's kingdom in us? There is space in God's kingdom for everyone. But in our own lives, are we going to make space for God's kingdom in us? A question for you this morning. What if I got up today and I issued a challenge to you and I said, you know what? I am going to give each of you $1,000 for every person that you win to Christ. And next week when you come back, I want to see the list of people you converted to Christ, and I will give you $1,000 for each person that you have committed to Christ. How many of you would take that challenge? I see Cody in the back going, oh, I'm all over that, man. I'd be going and telling everybody about Jesus, man. I'll be set for life, Dad. See me after the service, Dad. Let's work out the details. But you know what? That's what it comes down to, isn't it? That as a church, we've come down to gimmicks. We've come down to things to say, well, you know what? If you do this, then we'll reward you for doing it. But why do we need the incentive of a gimmick? Or the incentive of saying, well, we'll reward you for doing it when we're called to do it. Is it possible to think that, you know what, that soul that's not here this morning in this pew is worth well more than $1,000? But you see, what we did is we said, oh, I can make this for my gain. I get paid $1,000. They get a reward for getting to heaven. This is a win for me. And we've automatically thought about ourselves before we thought about the other person and thought about what God has called us to do. You see, we don't need gimmicks. We don't need rewards. We need to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of this world and our community here in Columbia. Because we're called to do it. We are called to love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and love others as ourselves. To do things for God, not just when it benefits us, but even when it doesn't benefit us. You see, when we begin to spend time with God and see Christ, we begin to see what really matters. And I guess the question is, what is it that we see each day when we look in the mirror? When we wake up in the morning and we get ready, we go to bed at night, do we see Jesus in the mirror when we look at ourselves? Do we see that reflection of Jesus peering through us? Are we proud of how we've lived our day and proud of what we've done? Or do we wish there was something we could have done differently? That we really can't look ourselves square in the eyeballs in the mirror because we're ashamed of the fact that, you know what, maybe I should have made time for God today, or maybe I should have done something better. You see, it's not too late to change. We are told that we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve the world and serve God. You either hate the one and love the other. The question this morning is for us, which one do we love more? Amen.
This morning he talked a little bit about our priorities and making God a priority in our lives, and I think one of the priorities that we need to make, I'm speaking to myself as well, is to remember God's goodness in our lives. Even if we're going through a really dark time, in a tough times, to remember back, oh yeah, God was faithful in the past when I was really struggling, and to remember that he will be faithful to you now. And also reflect on the times that he's been great to you, you know, and just thank the Lord for his goodness. I invite you just to continue sitting. We're just going to worship the Lord, and the song that I'm going to sing is talking about reflecting on God's goodness in our lives. And just take the time between you and God to reflect on his goodness. You're welcome to sing along if you'd like.
Dylan.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Can you say it to him this morning? All my life, and all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. It one more time. All my life, 'cause all my life, Lord, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, every breath, I will sing of the the goodness of God. Make that your decision. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord. Please stand as we continue to sing about his love for us.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless. Time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the stretch from sky. Come on, sing it out. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels.
Let's sing it again, one more time.
Just some few individuals to keep in your thoughts and prayers to Rich Gerfen as he continues to be at St. Anne's, Lynn McNaughton as she's still recovering from knee surgery from a couple weeks ago. Continue to keep the Naomi Rutherford's family in your thoughts and prayers as she passed away over a week ago. Also, Wendy Boyd, who has shingles, and there might be others that you might know, and if you want to share those after the service with me, I would love to know who they are so we can pray for them. But just keep those individuals in your thoughts and prayers as you head out this week. As we come together now and we leave this place, let us leave going, fulfilling the mission field, going to what we've been called to do, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community of the world, that others might come to know him by what we do and what we say, that the love of God can be seen through us each day. May the grace and peace of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week.